In December of last year, I met with the youth who were preparing to be confirmed in January. Their instructors were doing a marvelous job of preparing them to understand the responsibility they were accepting as they moved into a fuller adult life in the church. But they had questions specifically for me. And I always love a rousing game of stump the priest. The young folks had time to prepare for this session, and so I was presented a stack of questions written anonymously on 3x5 cards. I have no idea if the cards were intentionally stacked, but what I do know is there was no gentle descent from easy questions to the more difficult. The first question posed was actually not even a question, but a statement, like one that would have been presented to me in my oral exams at the end of seminary. Explain the Trinity. That's what was written on the very first card. And this looks very difficult at first glance, but given my nature, I actually found it quite simple. Not because I'm particularly brilliant, but because I'm willing to say, no, I cannot explain the Trinity. At least in not in any tangible, provable, or scientifically reliable way. The triune nature of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, is just not something that human logic can explain, no matter how hard we try. And try we have for centuries. People fought tooth and nail, sometimes literally, to determine just what the Trinity is, and just how the three persons of the one God all work together, or are together, or are not together, at least not exactly. The final agreement was that Father, Son, and Holy Spirit are three persons, actually persona, which is not exactly persons, of one substance. Very wise and very learned people have used all sorts of allegories to attempt to explain this unusual relationship shared between Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Perhaps the most commonly known is that of the clover. Three leaves, one clover. Others include water, which can be found in the forms of steam or ice or liquid. I recently read where a naive seminarian described the Trinity as three-in-one shampoo. That was a failed attempt for sure. I've often used, which I was going to do if we had kids here on Sermon of the Steps, three eggs all whisked together like you're making an omelet. So they're still three eggs, but one omelet. But if truth be told, all of these examples of the nature of the triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit are heretical. They each would have, in prior years, caused the individual using these descriptions to be exiled to the farthest reaches of the world. At the end of the day, all of our trying and all of our intellect, no matter how great, cannot do justice to the three yet one nature of God. And we might as well just face that fact. God is God and we are not. And I hope that that comes as a relief to you, because it certainly does to me. So should we just scrap Trinity Sunday, write it off as something that we can never fully understand and just put it in file 13? Absolutely not. We can never understand fully the interactive, interrelated, yet separate nature of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We have a great deal to learn about that relationship and a great deal to experience from each of the three persons of the Trinity. Our readings today were specifically chosen to point to the different activities of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, but yet also how they are still interrelated. In Genesis, we hear the story of creation, the very act of God bringing into being that which was not. God, the creative force in the universe, acting out of love to create all that lives and moves and has its being. Yet God was not in this act of creation alone. All three parts of the Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, were a part of this creative act. The Son, often referred to as the Word, breathed life into the world. The breath, the Ruach, the Spirit of God is the source. The Spirit is the source of that life that is breathed. No one part of the Trinity is of lesser importance. No one part is subordinate to the other. Although I think we have a tendency to want to make the Trinity linear, it is not. That really is a heresy. Not first Father, then Son, then Holy Spirit, but all three, all together from all time. Can I explain that? Nope. But I can experience it. And I can, through my experience and faith, trust it and believe it to be true. In the second letter to the Corinthians, Paul continues to try and realign the behavior and function of the church in Corinth. He tells the church people in Corinth in his concluding letter, put things in order, listen to my appeal, agree with one another, live in peace, and the God of love and peace will be with you. Greet one another with a holy kiss. All the saints greet you. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with all of you. And here we have the impetus for the passing of the peace, which we do in each service, not the, hey, how you doing, or a casual exchange on the streets, but a sincere expression of God's peace to be shared with our brothers and sisters gathered for worship. And the true source of this peace is God in relationship. God of love and peace. God of grace and communion. God not alone, but in the relationship, shared relationship, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, a relationship of grace, peace, and love. This is what Paul says is how we are to live in relationship with each other, modeled after the relationship shared by Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. For one is not greater than the other. One has no more privilege than the other or status, but we're all are equal, joined together for one purpose, to bring the world back to right relationship with each other and with God. Jesus in Matthew's gospel here gives his followers directions on how to continue God's mission in the world. He says, go! Go out. Don't just sit here scratching your heads trying to figure out what it means that God is one in three and three in one, one persona, three persons, one substance. That will not further the mission of the Trinity in any way. Go, move, reach out to others and bring them into this relationship of love. So maybe first we need to work on this relationship of love right in here. But while we're working on it, we can bring others to know about God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and tell them about the grace and love and peace offered to all. Jesus says, go and go baptize in the name of the Father, of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, and obey all that I have commanded you, which in a nutshell is to be examples of grace, love, and peace as modeled by the relationship of the triune God. Unless we be overwhelmed by this, Jesus reminds us that he will be with us always, even to the end of the age. Sometimes it's hard to remember that Jesus, God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit are with us always, even to the end of the age, even in our darkest moments of doubt and despair, even in our moments of greed and gluttony, even in our moments of success and triumphs that we so often want to take full credit for, even then, God, Jesus, the Holy Spirit is there. Sometimes it's easy to remember that we're not left alone. Perhaps in the movement of a gentle breeze, or the thunderous crash of the waves on the shore, or a hug of a friend, or a gasp of breath and cry of new life when a baby is born. Maybe we remember that we're not alone, that we have the God of love and peace and grace with us always when we join at communion at God's feast of love. As we strive to be living examples of the God whose very being, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit embodies grace, peace, and love, let us follow Jesus' words and obey his command and go and share this love with the world, remembering that always we're not alone. Amen.